Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila, chapter 14, entitled Lord Chaitanya's Childhood Pastimes, text 40. As usual, for small children, he learned to play, and with his playmates, he went to the houses of neighboring friends, stealing their eatables and eating them. Sometimes the children fought among themselves. All the children lodged complaints with Satchimata about the Lord's fighting with them and stealing from the neighbor's house. Therefore, sometimes she used to chastise or rebuke her son. Text 42. Satchimata said, "Why do you steal others' things? Why do you beat the other children? And why do you go inside others' houses? What do you not have in your own house?" Purport. According to the Vedanta Sutra, Janmadiyas Yataha, since creation, maintenance, and annihilation exists in the Supreme Absolute, whatever we find in this material world is already in the spiritual world. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna himself. How is he stealing? And how is he fighting? It is not as a thief or an enemy, but as a friend in a loving condition. He steals as a child, not because he's in want, but as a natural instinct. In this material world, also small children without enmity or bad will sometimes go to a neighboring house and steal, and sometimes they fight. Krishna also, like other children, did all these things in his childhood. Without the existence of the stealing propensity and the fighting propensity in the spiritual world, they cannot exist here in this material world. The difference between the material and spiritual worlds is that stealing in the spiritual world is done in friendship and love, whereas fighting and stealing within this material world are executed on the basis of enmity and envy. Therefore, we should understand that in the spiritual world, all these activities exist, but there's no inebriety, whereas in the material world, all activities are full of miserable conditions. Om Ajnana Timanandasya Ginnandana Salakya Shakshura Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kanamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. We find a conversation between Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and a professor, a European professor named Professor Sudders. And the professor is pointing out that sometimes Krishna is acting immoral, like in his pastimes where he's stealing, or in pastimes where he's mixing with the wives of others and all these kind of things. And then Srila Bhaktisiddhanta is pointing out that these things are not at all, including any fault. And he says, just like a right angle has no contractedness. He says a regular angle is contracted to an extent, but a right angle is not contracted in all. So he gave, in this way, it is like a right angle. There is no inebriety. The professor scratched his head and changed the subject. He didn't get it. Yes, but it is also very difficult to understand how there are no imperfections in Krishna's activities, because stealing appears immoral and fighting seems like not a very nice thing, because, you know, it's a little wrestle, but if it goes beyond that and you start to hurt others, ahimsa looks better. It looks just more exalted. So one might expect from the Supreme Lord that he would be the embodiment of ahimsa. But if you look in the Krishna book, it's not entirely like that. For example, when Jarasandha comes with his army, it's a large army, rather, millions, and they are attacking Mathura 17 times, and Krishna and Balaram come out and they create rivers of blood, and elephants that they shoot are like islands in that, in that river, the dead elephants, and there are like heads with jewels that are cut off, jeweled earrings and helmets that glitter like rocks in that river of blood. It's very a very graphic description, rather, and some people, when they read that, they are shocked. Here also, we have a nice picture on the wall of Lord Nrisimhadev, and there is quite a puddle of blood at his lotus feet. And an innocent visitor who comes for the first time might find that a little bit shocking and might just wonder, what's that? And then we'll say, that is God. And they'll say, really? I see. So it is sometimes difficult to understand. But one who has a transcendental vision can see that everything is not done out of envy, as in this material world, where one is trying to destroy another, where countries are in war with the aim to establish the superiority of their own culture, their own wealth, and at the expense of others. And Srila Prabhupada makes it very simple, because he basically points out that everything, all these activities, such as fighting and stealing in the spiritual world, are done as a loving exchange. And then suddenly, it all looks different. And that is the point. Yeah. So, that is very nice. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was quite wild as a child. He was regularly being accused of doing all kinds of things. Chaitanya Bhagavat is giving us these nice pastimes of proud brahmanas who are chanting in the water of the Ganga, their Gayatris, standing waist deep and with the thumb in the thread, and very proud of their brahminical status, and Nimai swimming underwater and pulling their legs, and they fall over. And it is very nice. And that was not everything. That was not everything. Then what did he do? Then he would sit on the bank of the Ganga. And when the brahmanas would come out of the water after having completed their bath and their Gayatris, and in all their purity, would step on the bank of the Ganga, grazing the bank. And just then, Nimai was sitting there, and he had water in his mouth, and he would spit it on them. Now, that was really too much. I mean, like, one can imagine what a drama that was. And they would complain. But when Nimai would come home, his hair was dry. It wasn't wet from bath in the Ganga. It was dry. And there was dust on his body, and ink blots also. So his friends would say, very smart, Nimai, very smart. You covered it really well. And in this way, somehow or other, Nimai's mischief was something. Later on, it started to develop into scholarship. Nimai became a scholar, and as a scholar, he was a terror. Because he would challenge people and publicly embarrass them. Murari Gupta was his favorite sparring partner. Every day, Murari was about 15 years older and learned, extremely learned, but Nimai would enter into debate with him, defeat him, and then say, Oh, Murari, you haven't understood anything. Go back to your books, you know. Go back to your books and come back tomorrow. And Murari would come. And in this way, Nimai was, in a subtle way, revealing that he was the Supreme. No one in the world could show such kind of scholarship. It was just incredible. And the Digvijay Pandit, Keshava Kashmiri came, and he was something else because he was a devotee of the goddess Saraswati. So he came and he was asked by Nimai to speak a few words in glorification of the Ganga. And the Kashmiri Pandit just, like a storm, Sanskrit verse after Sanskrit verse, glorifying the Ganga, 100 verses. I mean, who could do such a thing? And then Nimai said, oh, that was very good. But could you please tell me, in the 64th verse, which are the good qualities of the verse and which are the faults of the verse? That's like faults. Faults in the verse. You know? No faults in the verse. And then Nimai began quoting the 64th verse and pointed out all the faults in it. Bhavani Bharti. Bharta, Bhavani Bharta. The husband of the wife of Lord Shiva is sort of double, you know. So that didn't quite make it as an example. And the pandit was amazed how Nimai could remember. But the Lord is not forgetful. Krishna never forgets. Krishna also tells Arjuna that so many times we have been together, so many times we have performed, so many pastimes. You have forgotten, but I remember. Krishna doesn't forget. So in this way, in a subtle way, Nimai's transcendental nature came out. Nimai began to fall on the ground and fall unconscious. Whenever there was something related to remembrance of Krishna, his mother was thinking it was a terrible disease. But again, Murari, who was the physician, he said, I want that disease. He could understand. He could understand that this disease was not just any disease, but that this was a transcendental disease, a disease of love of God. So what shall we say? There were many signs throughout that Nimai was the Supreme Personality of Godhead in hindsight. It started very early when there were miracles in the house. Miracles, when someone claims to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we're looking, well, did he do something extraordinary? Like Krishna is the Supreme Lord? Why? Well, he lifted Govardhan Hill on the little finger of the left hand. That's something. Kamsa tried to minimize it by saying, well, you know, I mean, he just lifted a pebble named Govardhan and he just danced on the hoots of some snakes. I mean, that doesn't make him the Supreme Lord. He tried to make the hill a bit smaller and so on. But meanwhile, it was Govardhan. It's like a serious hill, and 5,000 years ago, bigger than today, that we find in the Harivamsa, that Govardhan was so high that the Gandharvas who were flying in the sky would regularly bump into Govardhan. Yeah? So it was certainly reaching way up into the higher planetary regions that we have to understand. And Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill. After Krishna left the planet, out of separation, Govardhan shrunk. And then there was also a curse from Pulastya Muni that every day shrinks with the size of a mustard seed. So in this way, Govardhan is getting a bit smaller. And, of course, all these people that collect Govardhan Shilas with lots of love and devotion are taking Govardhan home also. And you find in the Chaitanya Charitamrita descriptions of how devotees took sometimes the road where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had been. They took some dust, and eventually the devotees took the whole road home. It is described like that, you know. They took the road home. So, yeah. Of course, I also worship Giriraj. But Lord Chaitanya gave Govardhan to the renounced order. To the renounced order. He never gave to the Grihasthas. Gave to the renounced order. Yeah. Because we can't have deities, like you can. Like your householders can have full deities. So why they need Giriraj? But we need. So. That was the first point. Now, let us carry on and see that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was at home, his father being a Brahmana, his father was worshipping the Shalagram Shila, because Brahmanas were worshipping the Shalagram Shila. And then, when the child was there, they, as a baby, and was not walking yet, they would hear running of a child in the house. So it's like, who's running here? And then they would see the footprints of the Lord with the signs of the Lord, the stick that controls the elephant or other things like that, conch shell and so on. And they would see these footprints and said, like, well, how is this? Who's doing this? And Jagannath Mishra concluded, it must be the Shalagram Shila. It must be the Shalagram Shila. Yeah, completely normal, isn't it? The Shalagram Shila comes off the altar and runs through your house. But somehow or other, they saw like this. So these are endearing pastimes that are also showing miraculous things. They saw the footprints of Nimai had the conch and the stick of the elephant, the barley corn, and all these other things, all these symbols. So in hindsight, there's no doubt about it, right? When later on he revealed himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there was no doubt about it. And when Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is recording the pastimes of Nimai, then we can see that he is the Supreme Lord, beyond a doubt. Of course, for the materialists like Kamsa, yes, they will always minimize everything and some or other twist it and see and turn the Lord into an ordinary person, Govardhan into a pebble, right? Like that, just to somehow or other avajanati mammuda, to turn Krishna into an ordinary person, manusim tanamasritaham. But of course, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna already deals with them and says, yes, such kind of people are asses, right? What to do? An ass cannot see, can just not figure it out, cannot see the real goal of life. The Muda is so many times telling us, when we are on the streets, they say things like, go get a job, go get a job. Or say, you know, they see you in sparkling orange, they say, get married, you know, go get a job, get married. Be normal, you know. You're an anomaly. You're just standing here as a symbol. You're standing here as a symbol of unhappiness, you know. You're just here, a sour face, you Hare Krishna. You're telling us that our life is not okay. Go get a job, right? Get normal, right? Grow some hair, whatever you do, for God's sake, you know, stop reminding us of our suffering. We're having a great time. In this way, the materialists, the Muddhas, are inclined to minimize any transcendentalist and anything transcendental, to just bring everything back to the realm of being normal. And normal means to just live a material life, and this material world is here for enjoyment. Yes, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Enjoy. Just enjoy. It's not so easy. It's hard, actually. As a sober person realizes. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is showing his human-like pastimes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead in his human-like appearance. On the one moment, completely human, at another moment, completely extraordinary. We think of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and turning into a ball. He turns into a ball. A ball? Yes, a ball. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became ecstatic and overwhelmed with symptoms of love of God, and his limbs disappeared into his body, and he was like a huge ball, a huge ball. How is that possible? No. Don't try now to apply mundane logic. No. Don't try now to apply the logic based on what you know. When one is a child, the good thing about children is they don't know. So when you're a child, anything is possible. Anything is possible. You just don't know. Because all these strange things that you've never seen are happening. Therefore, a child is open to anything. But once you become an adult, oh no, then you have figured it out, what is normal and what is possible with it, what is within the realm of possibility, and anything beyond that, you just block it out. It doesn't exist. There's an interesting story about the ships of Columbus coming to America and how these ships were anchored in front of the coast, and then the local people couldn't see them. They didn't see them. The ships were there, but they didn't see them. Their minds blocked it out, because their minds said, no, that cannot be. You know, what we're seeing now, nah, that doesn't exist. They just didn't see it. So it's a psychological phenomenon. When something goes out of the realm of normality, in parentheses, then we just can't see it. So the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very interesting, because he acts within the realm of normality in human-like pastimes, and he does the typical things kids do, stealing something and so on, going into anyone's house. And as a kid, you can do, and you're welcomed most of the time. And then... but then he's also doing supernatural things. No one had ever danced like Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one. Gaura Nataraj, the king of dancers, was just flying above everyone else in Rath Yatra. He was spinning so fast like no one else. It's like a firebrand, like a stick burning, and you move it very fast, and it becomes a circle of fire. In this way, he was just, you see these rainbow people, you know, doing a fire dance and all these kind of things nowadays. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was spinning so fast, he jumped so high, and he crashed on the ground in such ecstasy, not considering how he would land. And he cried, so many tears. How could so much water come from one person? In the Jagannath temple, there is this drain, and there was a stream from the tears of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. During Snan Yatra, which happened outside the Jagannath temple in Narendra Sarovar, when Lord Jagannath was on the Snan Bedi, and they were bathing Lord Jagannath, and the sun was shining, and drops were jumping in all directions like glittering jewels, it was an amazing sight. But more amazing was it that so many drops came from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's eyes. More drops came from Mahaprabhu than came from Jagannath. And that was the most amazing thing. He cried so many tears in ecstasy. So we see so many miracles in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We can think of Jarikanda, where all the deers, all the tigers, and even elephants, we're all getting ecstatic and chanting the holy name. So these are all miracles, undoubtedly. But this is not the miracle for which we are remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So the dry, mundane speculator is trying to ascertain what evidence is there to establish the divinity of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's what I'd like to know, says the mundane scholar. And we say, yeah, okay. In Prabhupada's Chaitanya Charitamrita, look at Adi Leela 2:22, right? And there you'll find a whole list of verses in a purport. Have a look at it, you know. Have a look at some of the miracle pastimes if you wish so. And if that's not enough for you, you know, then read the second chapter in the Adi Leela and Krishna's Kaviraj is dealing with the supremacy of the Lord, the divinity. But when all these miracles are there, oh yes, they're all wonderful. They're all wonderful and endearing. Undoubtedly, they are endearing when the Lord is doing something extraordinary. But the greatest miracle that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu displayed, and the miracle that is the essence of his appearance, is that he reveals love of God. That is the miracle. No one had ever seen such love of God. No one had ever seen anything even coming close in a person. Yes, you see some symptoms of love, you know. People cry. Oh yes, people shiver. Oh yes, people faint. Oh yes, these things may happen. But in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these symptoms, they existed in like a blazing form, a blazing form. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said that when symptoms of love of God begin to manifest, they first manifest in the Dumaya stage, the smoking stage. I mean, not the smoking stage like we know it in London and Amsterdam. Not that stage. No, that is sahaja, right? When you think, you know, I'm blowing away, and at the same time I'm like full of love for Krishna, right? That is illusion. No. The smoking stage meant the condition of the heart, that the symptoms of love of God begin to show in a devotee, but a devotee can still hide it in that stage, can still hide it. Then there are stages that are more intense, the inflamed stage, then you get like the blazing stage, and finally you get like the intensely blazing stage of love of God. And that is what we see in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sudipta. Intensely blazing stage of love of God. some Vaishnavas become Kavi, and some Vaishnavas have described Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu like the golden volcano. And that's kind of how it is. The love of God was bursting from his heart. It was just bursting out with great force. Therefore, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would sometimes just dance wildly, and just exuberantly, sometimes just throwing himself in the air. Other times, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Sarup Damodar would sing, Sarup Damodar would for 9 hours sing one line of a song, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would stand in one posture for 9 hours, completely absorbed, not moving on. You know how the mind is. That was amazing. That was wonderful. That was so amazing. And the mind already moves on. It's become a memory. That great moment, already a memory now. Gone, behind us. It was great. Oh yes, it was. It was so good. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not move on. He would just stay there, focused on the amazing glories of Krishna, and just remain there absorbed. That's the miracle. That's the miracle. Who can do? Restless minds that we have here, there, everywhere. Always, all over the place. From here to the moon, we have seen Shamananda. I think we've seen Shamananda's, the one with the furry eyebrows, his japa clip, right? And he's sitting there chanting japa, and then another Shamananda appears above him, the mind. And then you see the battle with the mind. The battle with the mind. Oh my God, the battle with the mind. Mind. Everybody knows. Don't mind. Don't mind. It's easier said than done. We're minding like everything. Yeah. Mind your own business. Yes, we are minding a lot of things. So that is the difficulty. The mental energy. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Mora man Vrindavan, my mind is Vrindavan. And Vrindavan, one should understand, what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan is a place which has been manifest by Lord Balaram. It is Vrindavan in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. We find a whole chapter about Lord Balaram. A lot. Because Vrindavan Das Thakur was the disciple of Lord Nityananda Balaram. Therefore, he is fully explaining Balaram Tattva. And he's explaining how Balaram expands himself and becomes Vrindavan, the spiritual world. And Balaram also expands himself and basically becomes all the personalities that manifest the material world. Karandaksai Mahavishnu and Garbhadaksai Vishnu, Ksiradaksai Vishnu, all of them are expansions of Balaram. So Balaram is involved in all ways to manifest the spiritual world, the material world. He's making arrangements for the pleasure of the Lord. So the spiritual world, Vrindavan, is an arrangement entirely meant for the pleasure of the Lord. Everything about Vrindavan is meant for the pleasure of the Lord. And Vrindavan consciousness is meant for the pleasure of the Lord. And when we go to Boma Vrindavan on earth, and we see things there that are clearly not in line with the pleasure of the Lord, then know it to be the covering on top of that Vrindavan. That is the little bit of illusory energy on top of the Dham, which hides it from the vision of a mundane personality who cannot see. Otherwise, Vrindavan is an arrangement for the pleasure of the Lord. And the consciousness of Vrindavan is an arrangement for the pleasure of the Lord. And thus we see how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's love is manifesting, and we're not only judging it by the external symptoms of ecstasy, which are described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but we're judging it by the depth of his dedication. Because we have the example of Daruka, who is the chariot driver of Krishna, and who becomes overwhelmed by ecstatic symptoms while he's fanning the Lord, and as a result, he freezes, he gets stunned, and he stands there. And at that point, he condemns his ecstasy. He says, you know, get out of here, this ecstasy. Who wants it? When I was fanning, now due to this ecstasy, I cannot do my service. So we're looking at Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu still at a deeper level when we're looking at his dedication. And in this way, we see how love of God is gradually being revealed throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita. This is the purpose of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're not even, in the Antya Lila, we're not even supposed to be there. Right? We're not even supposed to be there because at that time, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was alone with his close associates. No one else was allowed. The devotees of Bengal would come every year for Rath Yatra. During the 18 years that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed in Jagannath Puri, the first 6 years, the devotees would come every year for Rath Yatra. And then the Lord, after 3 months, would send them back. So 3 months a year they would spend with the Lord. But then after these 6 years, Mahaprabhu went into a more internal state of consciousness, of totally absorbed in that love of God, and no one would even come anymore. And then there were just a few, Sarup Damodar, Ramananda Roy, and some other, Raghunath Das was there, Govinda, of course, the servant of Lord Chaitanya, they were there. And somehow or other, Sarup Damodar Goswami kept a diary. And that diary is lost. It's lost. It's no longer extant. Now what to do? The diary is gone. But somehow or other, Raghunath Das was appointed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to become the servant of Sarup Damodar, to be under his shelter. So Raghunath Das, he heard that diary so many times, he memorized it. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes like that in his commentary to the Brahma Samhita. Right? There we find Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states like that. So in this way, we appreciate that Raghunath Das actually knew. And Raghunath Das, according to some, became the Diksha Guru of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, according to Srila Prabhupada, the Siksha Guru. Prabhupada says the Diksha Guru is Nityananda of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. And in this way, this knowledge comes into this Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's like sort of, phew, somehow or other, reached us, you know. I mean, who are we, right? Kali Yuga, you know, residents, who are we, you know, all from these big sinful cities or sinful villages for that matter, right? Whatever it is, sinful places, sinful life. And then in the middle of that, we get these descriptions about Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy where no one was allowed to be present. The most confidential moments of Lord Chaitanya in Jagannath Puri in his final years, where no one was meant to be present, somehow or other, I spy was there. And yes, we actually got it. We actually get a glimpse of all of that. That is the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, all throughout the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the most merciful, the Mahavadanya, the most magnanimous. He's so magnanimous, he even shows us his most intimate moments. And of course, we go now from the Adi Lila, gradually, and then through the Madhya Lila, and step by step, we are getting more and more insights how this love of God works. First, we see it bursting out after his sannyas, flooding everything in all directions, touching so many people, making everything ecstatic. Then we see how in the discussion with Ramananda Roy, and even before with Venkatabhata, it becomes more and more qualified. Then we see in Rath Yatra how it all comes out, and he just calls out, Jaga, Lord Jagannath, and no one can understand his separation except Rupa Goswami, who writes a verse, and so on. And then we go to the Antya Lila, where we get a deeper insight into love of God. So this is what we're studying. We're studying how gradually the Chaitanya Charitamrita and the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya are revealing love of God in all its qualities, in its overwhelming, flooding way, in its bursting out of the heart way, and in its most confidential way of such eagerness to please Krishna. And that is how it has to be. And we pray that we may purify our minds, and that eventually, by chanting the holy name, all the spider webs disappear, all the sinful bats that are flying around in the cave of our heart may disappear, until finally our mind can also become like Vrindavan. And then we are residents of Vrindavan, wherever we are. And then Vrindavan is always with us. Oh, when will that day be ours? So this is the path that the Chaitanya Charitamrita is showing. And this is our spiritual life. This is what we are doing. We should understand, I say this more often, is that we are not just studying the Chaitanya Charitamrita, we are in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It doesn't end with the last chapter of this book. That's not where the Chaitanya Charitamrita ends. The pastimes of Lord Chaitanya continue, and we are part of that. And therefore, we are also there. Of course, you look at the caravan, you look at the Harinam party, and in the front there is Advaita Acharya, a dancer, Haridas Thakur, a dancer. The older ones are dancing, isn't it amazing? And then they are dancing, and it is an ecstatic party, and all the Goswamis are dancing. And behind them, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in his old age, dancing in ecstasy. And Narottamdas Thakur is looking at the lotus feet of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and he is dancing. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur can only think about Narottam and how he described the love of the Lord. And Vishnath is rolling on the ground in ecstasy. And Baladev is holding on to the lotus feet of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And Jagannath Das Babaji, in his old age, at 125 years old, jumps out of the basket in ecstasy. And Bhaktivinod Thakur is just chanting and chanting out loud, mantra after mantra, and is just going so deep in his writings. His absorption is just incredible. What a meditation. And it's just flowing from his pen, and 100 books just appear like that. And then comes this transcendental son who is like chanting the same number of rounds as Haridas Thakur, sitting in a hut in the rainy season under an umbrella. And then such a focus and such an intensity, and takes that same intensity into preaching and just preaches with karate blows and just so crystal clear, and establishes Siddhanta beyond a doubt. And who can bring any confusion before him? And then Srila Prabhupada, the faithful servant who faithfully takes whatever his spiritual master gives, whatever all the acharyas brought, and who takes that and who makes it Someone who understands it and absorbs it really, right? And therefore is able to present the most complex things in a very simple way, just like in this purport. How we can just the whole difficult debate of transcendental, of mundane morality and transcendental morality, and how it's okay when Krishna steals, right? And Prabhupada simply says yes, because he does it in a loving way, as a symptom of love. Oh yeah, anybody can understand it now. Oh yeah, yeah, that makes sense. A deep theological problem, right, which could make scholars debate, and Prabhupada understood the essence of it and faithfully delivered what he received from all his predecessors and then brought it to us. He said, yes, because it's done out of love. Ah, I see, says the four-year-old. I understand, says the five-year-old. Ah, even someone who is 95-year-old and is no longer completely clear, what is my name? Even that one, ah, yes, love, yes, yes, yes. Ah, yes, love, I know love, yes. Ah. In this, anyone can understand. So any questions, any comments?